I think it's somewhat appropriate. It still works as our unofficial politics theme for Ask an Atheist. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. If I sound a little bit under the weather, it's because we had a pretty fun party last night.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. We went drinking with Ralph from Sweden.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden.
And he's also, I didn't know this about him until we were in the car, but he's also a Viking LARPer.
He is.
Yeah. And so we were up in Poulsbo, where the Viking statue is. Yeah.
It is, yep.
Yeah, and just the seething rage that he was just slowly building up over the time where it's like, oh, it's the Viking statue. You're going to get to see the Viking statue. The Viking statue with long chainmail and a horned helmet. And he's digging. You could just, oh, this thing is so terrible. Ah. It's like, yes. I'm not alone. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. Joining me today is Tyson. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. And Dave, how are you?
I really think that music could easily be Tyson's WWE walk-in music.
I'm not ready to... it's way too early in the afternoon to be hit with a metal chair. I don't know that I'm ready for that. We have a big announcement. We should just lead with it right away. On Earth Day, April 22nd, 2017, join the cast and crew of Ask an Atheist, along with hundreds of thousands of others across the globe, in the March for Science. In the March for Science, yes. Advocate for science in the public sphere, for evidence-based policymaking, for research funding, for public health, for our environment, and for truth with reasonable error margins. Sam will be speaking at Olympia's March for Science. Go to marchforscience.com to find your march. Yeah, I actually kind of messed with the read here. I added for reasonable error margins.
You also read it in third person.
I did. That's always weird.
It is.
Sam feels strangely about having to read about
himself.
He should
feel strange about that.
Is it too early to really get into that thought about, like, you put in for reasonable error margins because you have an understanding of science and understand using language specifically to state very clearly what things say? I'm reminded of the time my mother, who is not a religious nutbag, she's not crazy, she's not like any of these things, she's a very intelligent, reasonable person, but she pulled out the "it's just a theory" thing, and I'm like,
oh wow.
And I'm trying to explain to her, but when explaining why it's just a theory is not an accurate statement, you have all these caveats, because science makes sure to admit, like, okay, there is this and there is this and there is this, here's what we know. And you know, you can't make these definitive statements in a scientific context.
Yeah.
And so basically, it's like, what I'm trying to get across here is like, look, technically it's true for you to say it's just a theory, but that shows a complete misunderstanding of the entire process when you say it.
Right.
So
that's actually way more intelligent. And
I was going to say, I think you're giving Sam way more credit.
Yeah, way more.
I think it was just the drinks from last night. Oh boy.
Actually, I was just really uncomfortable with the idea that I'm marching for truth with a capital T.
There's worse things you can march for.
There's way worse things that I can. There's way worse.
Deviled eggs.
Yeah, pretty much. Well. Yeah, I would never. No, no, no. Wow.
I can get you a giant banner that says Veritas.
Yes, please, no. So I just truth with reasonable error margins, and I felt much better about myself for reasons that escape me. But yeah, I'm actually speaking at the March for Science in Olympia.
Congratulations!
Just got this confirmed.
Very exciting.
My understanding of science is ridiculous. So I imagine I'll be, I guess presenting the reasons for secular in the non-sectarian sense, not in the not religious sense viewpoint. I'm not really. Yeah, I'm still thinking about exactly how I want to do that. But
you're not just going to dig up the old blasphemy talk and just give that again, right?
No.
It's like, God. You mean I gotta write another talk? I already wrote one of these. Can't I just use that one again?
That's the thing about these public speaking engagements. You have to do new ones.
You have to do new ones. Yeah. No, I heard this.
Yeah. Play the hits, Sam.
Yes. You did this much better at Vegas.
Come on, just play Taking Care of Business. You know that's all we want to hear.
Ow.
Just a small town.
A federal judge from Louisville, Kentucky, had ruled that a lawsuit against Donald Trump may proceed. Three protesters are suing Trump for being assaulted at what they allege was Trump's order in the 2016 campaign rally. Defense lawyers argued for dismissal with a free speech defense, and the argument that Trump did not intend for anyone to use force against the protesters when he said, "Get them out of here." Judge David J. Hale rejected the free speech argument and noted that First Amendment rights do not protect speech that incites violence. He also found ample facts to support the assertion that the injuries sustained by the plaintiffs were a direct and proximate result of Trump's orders. So that's the best words for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some best words, because he has the best words.
The biggest. They're huge.
So this is a civil case, correct?
This appears to be a civil case.
Okay. Yes. So this is not going to have any bearing on the presidency itself. This is like, if they win, then he gives them a couple hundred bucks.
Well, it would help set precedent.
Yeah.
Do civil cases set precedent?
Well, I don't know a legal precedent in this case, but there is ample legal precedent to show that if you cause a riot at a speech that you might have some legal culpability there.
Right.
Right. It gives them something they can cite later in other cases that are not civil. So,
true. I'm just I'm always looking for the story that's going to lead to the impeachment.
This isn't the one.
And this is not the one.
This isn't the one.
This isn't the one. Yeah, I don't know that we've had this. The weird thing about stories that lead to impeachments is that normally they tend to come out of nowhere.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
And
like
there's a pun there that I'm just not going to do because we're on the air.
Where do they come out of, Sam?
La la la. Cigar boxes. La 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 la.
Something about saxophones.
Anyway. I need to think about more what I'm saying.
I think you need to think more about who you're with.
Right, perhaps. That may be the problem here. This is... you were saying in the pre-show that he said that this was like the tip of the iceberg for the kind of incitement that he would say at these rallies.
Right.
He was basically saying somebody should throw them out of here, somebody should punch them in the face as time went on.
It started off with this, get them out of here, get them out. And then he actually was telling people to hit them, to physically remove them. I mean, these things happen. He said he would cover legal costs for people. And there's actually one, a Korean War veteran, if I remember correctly, that actually punched somebody and was arrested.
Oh, wow.
And then when it came time for a court case, of course, Trump was nowhere to be found to help pay his legal fees.
Right.
So, I mean, this shows, even though in this case, this was early in the campaign before he had said those things, this shows that his intent was there, that he meant for these people to be physically removed and or physically harmed.
Wait. Hold on just a moment here. Are you telling me that our president has made promises to pay people and then backed away from those promises? That's something that he's done in the past?
This is breaking news.
I am shocked, I tell you.
I need a sarcastic breaking news button. Breaking news. We don't like the president. Surprise.
Breaking news. If you ever had a contract with the president, chances are you're not going to get paid from it.
Yeah. That does seem to be an ongoing theme. So, but this wasn't the one where he didn't say punch them in the face. That's what's really interesting, is it speaks to his psychology on this one, because you've got somebody who's like, oh yeah, throw them out of here. And then a physical altercation occurs where people are, you know, assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, that's awesome. Let's do more of this.
Yeah.
And then he starts upping his ante, like perhaps a professional wrestler. Not that he's got any experience with professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
There was that one time.
And that's the scary thing about this. And it's weird that, you know, there was no, I guess nobody's going to arrest a presidential candidate, I guess. I don't know.
They could.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I don't know.
Because if I did anything like that, I'd be in prison right now.
Exactly.
So straight up.
Well, and the thing is, a lot in the law, there are examples, or there are exceptions for somebody who is in office. So if he did this as president,
he'd be fine.
He'd be fine. He's actually exempt from any legal repercussions for that.
Oh, wow.
But
so when I become president, the first 10 things we're going to do are go into a crowded theater.
Well, and keep in mind, you have to do it as a part of your job.
Mm.
So this, the exemption has to be in
So I have to go, I'm the president.
While performing your duties.
Fire!
While performing, exactly. another shout out, and I feel like this is the fourth time we shouted out this podcast here, but opening arguments.
Second time, but okay, yeah. With, very good podcast.
P. Andrew Torres and Thomas Smith, amazing, go listen to it. But they explained sort of how this law works, and sort of the extreme example is if a senator is driving to the Capitol building to vote and run someone over, they cannot be legally held responsible for running them over because they are exempt because they are in the process of doing their job as senator,
yeah,
not going to the vote.
Yep. That's, I learned that in junior high.
That's the extreme example. And so,
that was the first time, I should run for office.
Well, and so the question is, how does this apply to the campaign trail? Because you are not in the process of
performing your duties.
You're not performing your duties of office because you're not in office yet.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a part of the political process. Like, it is very clearly part of the political process of campaigning.
I do wonder, you know, he's got a legal exemption, but that doesn't take away potential civil liabilities, which is why this might be going forward as a civil case. I kind of wonder if when he does this again, when he runs for re-election in 6 or 7 months.
I know he's already started his campaign.
Well, no.
They started it 1 week after he was in office.
Right. But I'm saying, I'm trying to make an impeachment joke. Work with me here. So I do wonder if there's, and this is me actually asking, if there's a civil liability, even if he's still the president and he does this at a campaign rally for a re-election campaign.
Right. I think there is, he can be accountable civilly for anything. Even in office, if he does something, there can be a civil case held against him, I think.
Right.
I am not a legal expert.
Okay.
Just throw that one out there.
I know we have a couple listeners who are, and I look forward to hearing about just how terribly wrong I am about everything. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. A Pennsylvania state representative and gubernatorial candidate gave a scientifically false reason for why fossil fuel emissions shouldn't worry natural gas advocates. While giving a speech to constituents in Harrisburg, Scott Wagner suggested that our planet is warming because the Earth moves closer to the sun every year, after admitting that he hadn't been in a science class in a long time. Wagner advocated for drilling on public lands and creating more oil pipelines. So, I suppose we should start out with where the error actually is here.
And to begin, when any political speech like this happens, start out. Let's ask a question. Is the Earth actually getting closer to the sun?
No.
Okay.
No, it's actually getting farther away.
Everything else he says is crap.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter.
Right.
And honestly, even if the Earth were getting closer at the rate that it's currently moving away, that would not cause global warming the way we've seen it over the past, 100 years or so.
Right.
Because there are actually very clear and direct correlations between carbon emissions and the greenhouse effect and rising temperatures.
And specifically CO2, which is another thing that people like this like to say, that's CO2 is plant food. We need CO2.
Well, okay. Once again, I am not an expert in this.
But I know how plants work. I took it.
It's got what plants crave.
I could try explain this as best as I understand the situation. We need Dan here for this, really. But okay, so think millions and millions and millions of years ago, there were no bacteria that would break down plant material. So you had trees growing and they would fall over, but there was nothing to decompose those trees. So eventually they would sort of like just fall under the earth and, get buried as time and erosion and wind and things happen. And then those eventually turn in to oil. Now, trees are made of carbon. They take carbon out of the air and use it to build themselves. And so that was a whole lot of carbon that got taken out of the air and put underground in the form of oil. So by burning that oil, we're just taking that carbon and putting it back in the air. Now, when these trees were growing, the climate was not capable of supporting human life. It was an entirely different climate, and we were moving back there by burning this oil.
Okay.
That's the way this process works. Not, we're getting closer to the sun. We know these things. Like, these are not hard things to learn.
All this stuff aside, what's weird about this is that the answer that to all of this is, well, we're moving close to the sun, so the Earth is warming anyway, therefore we don't need to care about it. Actually, if this guy were true, that would be way scarier than what we're doing right now.
I was about to say he's going to win a Nobel Prize in science.
Yeah, it's like
physics or something here.
Wow, because if that's actually happening, then we really need to stop the fossil fuels like immediately.
Right.
If we're having this kind of temperature spikes, the planet might be uninhabitable inside of 50 years. Well, either way, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I mean,
like. If it's going to be, if the climate is going to be rising no matter what, we should do what we can to ameliorate that as much as possible.
Right.
Also, if the climate won't go up if we do things about it, that would be a good thing too.
Right.
Either way,
find a happy balance.
But this tactic of mine is my favorite, which is we don't need to worry about global warming because the truth is actually way more terrifying than what global warming is. So,
well, it's like when you got a car that's breaking down and is making noise, just turn the radio up.
Right.
You know,
but he's saying we don't need to worry about the earth warming up because the earth is warming up naturally. And his response is, so we should all drink ourselves to death or we should just repeal all the drug laws and go out in an orgy of consumption. It's so let's build more pipelines. Let's burn more oil.
Let's add to the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this kind of denial isn't a denial that increased carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is warming it up. He's just saying that the warming we're seeing is because of other reasons.
It's not this fault. Yeah.
This logic is wonderful. It's wonderful. I don't know how else to explain it. It's you know, it's the best. It's way more entertaining than the plant food argument. I mean, that's a fun one. Well, we want more carbon dioxide because it's plant food. It's what plants crave.
Yeah, right.
So fill your house to the ceiling with butter. just breathe butter all of the time. Just butter in your veins, butter in your eyeballs, butter everywhere. Just live in an atmosphere of butter because butter is food after all. We need food to live. So just butter everywhere.
Wasn't that
10 miles deep of butter.
Wasn't that Paula Deen's plan?
Wow.
Yeah, kind of was, actually. What? Because he presents a lot of these arguments that people are talking about, like global warming is it's happening across the solar system and we need to not care about it,
right.
Create much more apocalyptic scenarios than
the drilling for natural gas.
Yeah, than anything Al Gore has ever said. Even that time when he got really into The Stand. You know, it's an insane argument, but he's not thinking about it. It's what happens when you don't think about what you're saying. You're saying it because you're pushing a line. You're saying because you want your backers, who have oil and gas interests, to feel like you're on their side. So you think of something really weird and just go with it.
And really dumb.
Yeah.
I think it's hinting to, you know, something we talked about at least last time I was on the podcast, which is that if you just say stupid rhetoric enough, it eventually becomes nobody's listening anymore, and so you can just push whatever.
It just becomes white noise.
Yeah,
and
nobody cares. Go ahead and start drilling. Drill baby, drill. Right.
Oh, so well, at least that just drill baby drill is way more honest because it's wanton disregard. Now who cares? Let's just drill everywhere.
Right.
In fact, when I first read this, I accidentally read it in my head as Wagner advocated for drilling on the sun. I don't know how I got there because it was
we'll do it at night.
No, guys, it makes sense. Trust me. I took a science class once.
Do it after the sun sets. Everything's fine.
But the other side of this is like saying that we don't need to worry about healthcare because the robots are going to murder us all in 10 years anyway. It's such
you know about that?
It's such a weird argument. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Computers, man, computers. See you in a minute.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVsTheMartians.com.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American soccer league.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's
more than basic. You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And in the break, we were discussing about how deep we go into joking about Paula Deen on that one. It's like, do we make a racist reference? She's kind of a racist. Do I talk about the time that, like, even before we found out how, well, before we knew how, you know, rather than just guessed at how racist she was, the time I saw her do shots of butter with bits of... It was a lobster shooter. It was a little bit of lobster in a shot glass full of liquid butter, and then she just drinks it.
Oh,
I could feel my cholesterol going up several points just by watching it. Oh, man. Yeah, no surprise I watch cooking shows occasionally. The City Council of Gig Harbor, Washington unanimously voted to ban private displays in public parks. Mayor Jill Guernsey had tasked the Parks Commission with providing a recommendation for action after the Freedom from Religion Foundation sent a letter in December threatening legal action against the erection of a nativity scene next to the city holiday tree. Parks Commissioner Katrina Knutson, who testified that the commission felt the city parks are for everyone and that by allowing private displays, those parks could become cluttered and not be used for their intended purpose. Private displays that are a part of permitted special events will still be allowed. At its May meeting, the city council is scheduled to discuss whether to erect a publicly owned nativity scene.
So first of all, congratulations to Gig Harbor. Good job.
That's my hometown.
Is it?
Yep, I grew up in Gig Harbor.
Oh,
I don't know if I people that on purpose.
Yeah.
Gig, for those who aren't real clear on local geography here, there's the Narrows Bridge, the big green bridge you may have seen once or twice. Gig Harbor is a town on the other side.
Yeah.
So it's like right there. And
it's a toll bridge, which means I've only really been to Gig Harbor twice.
Well, you can go over for free.
Yeah, you can go that way for free.
You just come back. And come back.
That's I go over there. I live here now.
Yeah, you pull up to the toll booth and they're just playing Hotel California.
Wow.
No, Gig Harbor made a good move here. They were requested to do something that they were borderline gonna break laws, and they've said, okay, we're just not going to do it at all, which is ultimately, isn't that what we're asking for? Either include everybody or include nobody.
This feels a little bit one step forward, 15/16ths of a step back, because
right. The second part is the problem I have.
Yeah, because there's a couple problems here. Is now they're talking about doing a publicly owned nativity scene.
That's even worse, actually.
That's way worse.
When it was a private one, I'm like, yeah. I'm still not happy with this, but
right.
At least you don't own it.
Yeah, because now you're, before where you're just like giving favored attention to a particular religion, now you're
going to potentially do it yourself.
Actively participating in a religious choice, which I'm pretty sure we've got some laws against.
Uh-huh.
Not just nationally, but Washington, the Washington State Constitution has some stuff to say about this on its own.
Yep.
So... don't do that.
Yeah.
Before, you know, at least you had, you could have other people doing things, and you had a bunch of stuff, and it got really cluttered and stupid. I won't lie. Mm-hmm. The idea of just not doing it all, I think not doing it all is the better option. How many churches are there? Just put a nativity scene on every church. Everybody's going to see a nativity scene as far as the eye can see. But it's the one on government property that says, so you can say that your government backs your religious choice. Is that's the one everybody pays attention to.
Right.
I don't think I've ever complained about a nativity scene on a church, on church property.
Or a person's property.
Or on a person's property on the show.
Every member of the congregation of every church could put a nativity scene on their front yard. We'd be like,
okay,
go you.
Yeah. There's actually a pretty cool one. One of the churches here that does a live nativity scene every year with like real people and animals. And like, it's kind of cool to drive by and see.
Do it for the whole month of December?
Yeah, they have like specific days and stuff.
Air dropping food in?
They do it on like Fridays and Saturday nights, you know, for a couple hours.
Yeah. You're day shift Jesus. Right. I'm night shift Jesus. Is that how that works? Or,
I do love the picture in this article of the woman holding the sign that says, "Don't discriminate against Jesus." Yes, it's.
Really? I gotta see that. The other wow, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Don't discriminate against Jesus.
I'll be honest, I thought she was gonna look a little crazier. But
I'm looking at this like, did I go to high school with her? There's a possibility.
Most people don't leave the harbor.
Most people don't leave. You're making it sound like Alcatraz.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
brewery.
I joke with you, Gig Harbor. Yeah, but then they just opened one like down, like a block away.
Right, but I can't have it.
You got to go to the other one.
Yeah, well, I'm vegetarian and they use fish oil. So.
Oh, they use fish oil.
Yeah, to clean the beer. It's a very archaic way of.
They use not the chitin material. They use fish oil.
They use
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like the only brewery in Tacoma that does.
That's way more.
It's a very old way of doing it.
Yeah, I thought the chitin stuff was way cheaper too.
It is.
Okay.
I already had this argument with them, and they said this is the way we like to do it.
So okay.
We went off the trails on that one.
No, that's surprising. Yeah.
I'm actually curious, and I'm guessing that Tyson, you can't answer this because vegetarian, so you probably won't drink it. But does it affect the taste? Like, does it actually taste better?
I wasn't always a vegetarian.
Okay,
and it does not. You're talking small amounts of particles. You can't even realize it's there.
It's a fining stage. So it's towards the end of the fermentation process. You add these agents to your must or your wort, and it basically just collects all the particulate matter and settles it out.
Yep.
So the idea is that you might get trace amounts of the chemical in it, which is why. Which is why Tyson can't have it, because there's going to be fish oil in it.
Right.
But just very small amounts.
It's so small.
Yeah.
In a 16 ounce, it would be like 0.0001 ounces.
Right. So, and if there's a moral reason that you don't want to eat animal products.
Well, they're still using animal
They're still using it in the beer.
Right, so making it. So that makes sense to me.
The problem isn't necessarily the consumption. It's the use.
Right.
Well, I was wondering, like, is there an insistence on using this old method if it does affect the taste? But if it doesn't, then why?
No. I mean, the stuff I use. People go back and forth. It's a chitinous material. It's a two-stage thing but it's also derived. I think it's derived from shellfish. Mm. So that's also a question for vegetarians and vegans is whether or not that's a good thing.
They're synthetic is what most everybody uses now.
The stuff I use, I've moved on to the synthetic stuff because it's cheaper and nicer and cleaner, et cetera, et cetera.
It works.
Yeah, and it works
perfectly
great.
Every time.
But it's still, when the synthetic stuff wasn't really available, or at least wasn't available where I was, that was the question I can't have your stuff because I'm a vegan. I was like, that's a shame. So I did a few batches that were just unfiltered.
I suppose they just don't filter. You're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't really like how that turned out.
And just because I'm always willing to take a backhanded shot at woo, let's point out that the 0.0001 ounces is still a hell of a lot more than any homeopathic medication.
That's, wow. Yeah. Maybe they need to advertise this homeopathic fish.
No, it's way too much. There's way too much fish in there for it to be homeopathic.
Ultra mega homeopathic
fish. You can find it, therefore there's too much.
Fair. So the way this specific, I don't know how the heck do we get, it's that kind of show. So the two things that bother me about this are, one, they say private displays that are part of permitted special events will still be allowed. Isn't the holidays technically a special event? So is this actually, I'm a little bit worried that this step is literally just card shuffling.
I take that to be like, because you can rent public spaces in public parks,
right,
for like a family barbecue or something.
Go to the town, get a permit.
Yeah. And so I have a feeling that that's what that is implying. So if you're having a, you know, some kind of rally or corporate picnic or something, you can put up banners and displays.
But if they say we're having a holiday special event,
I don't think they can rent you to the park for 30 days.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, maybe. I don't see why they couldn't.
Well, and I feel like if you're renting the park, say, for a wedding, you would be able to put up religious imagery on there for your wedding because it's there for you.
Right.
Right. But that's if you're renting the space. You know, it's parks are, I guess,
you know what? I'll say this. If they charge a fair going rate in some local religious organization wants to rent the park for the month of December to put up a nativity, I'll let him pay for that. That's money for the parks department.
You know, in laboratory conditions, I'd probably be okay with that. Mm-hmm. But given the near continuous rhetoric about the war on Christmas and how we need to defend Christian America, mm-hmm, or we need to keep America Christian, I can't go for it. It's best to just stay out of it. This is another one of those things, is if we didn't live in the context that we live in, we really wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right.
You know, the whole point about the First Amendment and specifically the religious clause is that the government is supposed to not have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't care who it rents it to. But now we've got people who are using that in order to basically totally skirt the spirit and the letter, mm-hmm, of the First Amendment and, mm-hmm, the non-establishment clause. And that creates a lot of problems, a lot of discrimination, and I think it has an effect on how people view the United States and how people view laws and what constitutes standard morality. Mm-hmm. And that raises some weird questions. So it's part in the larger context. I have a problem with it. If we lived in a place where the First Amendment was, or the idea of a non-establishment clause were more respected, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right. Sure. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's, in that situation, what would stop some religious organization from renting a section of the park out year-round and then erecting a 30-foot cross and saying, look, we're still renting. It's still our private, mm-hmm, sort of party here. And then just leave it there all the time to say, see, the public park is Christian.
And that also, I also think that method for it creates an opportunity to have a conversation with religious people who might not otherwise say, I would like to get to a situation where we don't have to care about this stuff, and I'd like your help in doing that. Here's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that works, usually it doesn't. It's not just about, it's not about keeping the government atheists. You know, it's not, the government isn't supposed to be an atheist government.
Right.
The idea is the government doesn't care.
Shouldn't have an opinion.
Doesn't have an opinion. Is not on my side, is not on a religious person's side, it's on nobody's side.
Of all the concepts, I want people to understand the difference between atheist and secular.
Yeah.
The fact that, no, the government's supposed to be secular, which doesn't mean it's atheist.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like using the title secular for atheist groups, mm-hmm, or humanist groups,
I
or
agree,
people, because that... because we don't have a religion, but we're not necessarily kind of call it sectarian in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not saying that we're Lutherans or something like that, but I agree with you 100%. And that's part of the reason why I like reserving the word secular for the not having an opinion versus I don't have a religion.
Right.
So, nah. So, I advocate for a secular government. I do not consider myself necessarily secular, I guess is the way I would put it. I call myself a humanist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like I said, one step forward, 15 sixteenths of a step back, because now they're talking about a publicly owned nativity scene.
Yeah, that part really bothers me.
Yeah, I know some people out in Gig Harbor who may end up showing up at that meeting. I may want to go and just watch the fireworks.
Right.
Because that could go bad.
It could. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give them the opportunity to fail first before.
Speaking of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is suing Judge Wayne Mack over his insistence on opening every court session with prayers. The advocacy group plus three individual plaintiffs allege that the practice violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. The Texas State Commission on Judicial Conduct declined to discipline Mack after an initial complaint the FFRF filed in 2014, though the commission urged Mack to make substantial changes to his practice, which includes introducing a visiting minister, advertising the name and location of his church, and reviewing his credentials. One change the judge instituted was to lock the courtroom doors prior to the prayer. Individuals hoping to avoid the prayer must then knock to be let in.
Okay, so here is what he's saying. I have the religious freedom to use my governmental position to endorse my religion. You have the religious freedom to leave while I do it.
Right.
That's not how
that's
this
not what it
works.
Means. Yeah.
Right. the issue that I really have a problem with here is that it's not the fact that you are allowed to leave. It's if you are a litigator and you are representing clients, and you're going to see this judge often because you only have so many judges in your city.
Right.
And you're going to have to sit in front of them multiple times.
Yeah.
You can no longer assume that you're going to get an impartial judge every time you walk into that courtroom. If you know every time he opens with a prayer and you're against that and you walk out of the room, is he going to take bias against you?
Right.
Is he going to use that against you later when he has to make a close ruling in your favor? Will he go, well, maybe not this time? And that is where the real problem is, for me at least here, is if he wants to do this and he's inclusive and he allows everybody and everything, and you want to go down that path, then we can have that conversation. But when you put attorneys who have to represent their clients in front of you multiple times in a position that they have to make a decision for themselves or their clients, a good attorney is going to choose their client over themselves because that's their job, right?
Right.
And it's you're putting people in a position that even though you're giving them an option, it's no option.
Right.
And he knows that. He knows that.
I really am concerned about this increasing argument we're seeing from judges like Roy Moore, to bring it back to that, where they're saying, well, I'm not the government. I'm a citizen. Therefore, I have the freedom to totally do all this religious stuff. And never mind the First Amendment, because I'm a citizen. And it's like, do you think the government is like Batman? Like, do you think that like there's a person who is the government that these laws apply to? And as long as you are not Batman this week, that you're allowed to discriminate against people? You are a judge.
Yes.
You are one of the most governmenty government guys that could ever government a government. It's you are the Fed. Yes. On your own time, when you don't have that robe on, or you know whatever weird wig, or I don't know how they do it in Texas.
Cowboy hat,
clown nose. Just kidding, Texas. Maybe.
No, we're not.
No, but it's you know, in his own time, he's allowed to do all of this stuff because that's what the First Amendment allows. But when he puts on that robe, and this is what every lawyer type and judge person I've ever spoken with has told me, you are the government at that
right.
point. You are representing the government as arbiter in trials.
You are an agent of the government.
You are the agent. You are an agent of the government.
And the part I don't really understand is that this is not a difficult concept. We are not legal experts, and we really grasp this concept, the idea of you are the government and the government is restricted from doing things. How does the Right Honorable Judge MacDaddy here...
I remember his album from the 90s.
How did he actually become a judge without understanding the concept that the judge is a representative of the government and therefore does not...
I bet you he understands it. I bet you he just disagrees.
But how do you... like, this is... foundational concepts that this country is built on. You can't just like disagree with it and then become a judge. Like, how do you get to that point?
Right.
Like Roy Moore, I get more because he's an elected judge, and so it's not based on his legal expertise. It's based on how many people he can preach at and get them to vote for him. But when you're an appointed judge, you should be appointed on the basis that you have an understanding of the law. Mm-hmm. And the law is very clear here.
Well, the law, and how much of the law is established by precedent? And how long had it been the precedent in the United States to basically ignore the Establishment Clause when it comes to stuff like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I imagine this guy might be an older guy.
Yeah, probably.
That may be just me being prejudicial here, but I'd have to look. I think I remember reading up on this, that this was a guy who'd been doing this for some time.
Right.
And that may go all the way back to a time when this was significantly more acceptable. We're talking about the era when they put "In God We Trust" on the national motto.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about the 50s and the 60s. We're, you know...
And going back to your argument, Tyson, about, like, there is no way that I, as a person in that court, can expect I will get fair treatment if I stand up and actively distance myself from a ceremony that he wants to have. Like, mm-hmm. he can say, I will treat you fairly, but I don't believe that.
Right.
And that's the same problem I have with putting "In God We Trust" on the walls. If I go into a court and there's an "In God We Trust" on the wall, and I know that judge fought to have that motto put up there, when I go up to testify and I affirm rather than swear on a Bible, I have to know that this judge is probably not going to take my testimony with the same weight that he would somebody who put their hand in the Bible. And that's the right. very exact reason we have this separation. This is the whole point.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about it. I'm not a lawyer. I'm certainly not a judge. But I did serve legal process for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a process server. Yeah, we are all that scummy. and, you know, it was explained to me in the documentation and the course that I had to take in Arizona, which is where I did this. You're an officer of the court, and what officer of the court actually means. And it means you are representing, like, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a judge, I'm not really involved in the cases, I'm just delivering papers. Mm. And they're telling me that you are, you are a representative of the court at that point because you're delivering civil process.
Right.
They're telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's a judge. This guy's supposed to know way more than I do.
Now, the question, though, is if he does this before he opens court, is he a judge at that point?
Yes.
Well, then the question becomes, where does the line, when is he not a judge and when is he a civilian?
I would say it's not just when he opens court. It's when he's in the courtroom doing his thing as a judge.
Sure.
It's not like he just stops being a judge when he slams the gavel and closes the court. He's still a judge.
Right.
And, you know, there are the canons that have to be followed, even when he's not actually presiding.
Right.
So that may be the get out clause there. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I do it before I open court, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
But if he does it before he opens court, so it doesn't matter, he doesn't have the right to lock the door, does he?
Right. Well, it's not his courtroom at that point.
Yeah, it's not his courtroom.
Right.
That might actually be kidnapping. Yeah. That would be imprisonment. Hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, go cruel and unusual on him. That would be weird. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's two stories in the FFRF today. That's pretty good. Yeah,
good for them.
Yeah. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. Go to a break and do one more quick news segment.
Has "In God We Trust" invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEXradio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. A Chicago area driver's education teacher has been fired after refusing to teach a student who declined to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. The incident began in September when student Shamar Cooper refused to stand when the pledge was recited in his Spanish class. His instructor allegedly tried to pull him up, to which Cooper responded, "America sucks." While the Spanish teacher was reprimanded and further harassment ceased, Cooper's driver's ed instructor, Vince Zybarth, said that the student needed to stand for the pledge in order to ride in his car. When Cooper's mother, Kelly Porter, reported it to an administrator, she was promptly informed that Zybarth would be terminated. Porter asserted that Zybarth should have learned not to harass her son when the first teacher was disciplined, reiterating, "Don't violate children's rights." I had to put so much... I had to put so much effort into not going, "America sucks," when I got to that part of it, because I imagine that's pretty much exactly how it sounded when it was said. So what I'm saying is that this guy, you know, he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe doing weird teenager things.
Well, and the part of the story that stuck out to me is, like, his mom complained, and then within days got a call back. He's like, "Yeah, he's going to be fired." And we're like, "Oh, they've been looking for an excuse." Yeah. This guy must be a dream to work with.
Well, we were looking into it, and apparently they got 300 signatures on a change.org petition, because those work.
Oh, yeah.
To get him reinstated, and people were giving him noise at school for getting this guy fired, and like, no, this is one of those guys who plays favorites, isn't it?
Yeah. He's got kids he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Which... all teachers actually have kids they don't like, but the good ones know how to fake it.
Well, we know, yeah. We know, we've learned a few things, both you and I, living with teachers and being married to teachers.
And hanging out with teachers.
And hanging.
All the things, you put it this way, all the things that y'all thought about in high school about the teachers, they're probably all true.
I am still wondering if teachers are actually more gossipy than students.
Yes.
I don't know. Because, well, I don't know.
That was not a definitive answer, Dave. Yes. I also wonder that.
Okay, yeah. Do you also wonder, or do you think...
No, it's the teachers are more gossipy, definitely.
Okay.
Because they follow all the drama.
I don't make a business of hanging out with high schoolers, so I don't actually know.
No, I make a business of hanging out with teachers who are talking about high schoolers, that they know every piece of drama that's going on between every student. Students don't know all the drama. They know the drama in their circle and maybe another circle.
Okay.
But teachers know it all.
They get it all.
They know what's all that's going on, and they have opinions about all of it. When you were in high school and you and that girl broke up, or you and that guy broke up, your teachers knew about it and had opinions about whether or not you should have been together. This is a conversation that happened when you're not around. Oh, yeah. Oh, you should. That face that Sam is making unfortunately doesn't play well on the radio,
no.
But it's amazing.
No, I'm just remembering what my senior year was like. I wonder what my teachers thought. Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what they were thinking.
I'm surprised I'm not in jail. Yeah. Okay. So first and foremost, just because this kid might sound kind of annoying, doesn't mean he doesn't have rights.
Correct.
Because I'm reading America sucks. Like, really? You know what? I'm not a big fan of that. I think I've made it pretty clear. I'm not a big fan of pledge taking at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I especially don't like this casual pledge, pledge of allegiance, where they treat it as no big deal. It's like, either it's not a big deal and there's no reason to do it,
mm-hmm.
or it is a big deal. So why are you forcing kids to do it?
Right.
Why are you forcing kids to take a pledge that they might not actually believe in? You're either devaluing what a pledge actually means, or you don't care. In either way, this should not be a required thing. And it's not a required thing.
Right.
But don't tell that to the teachers, apparently. Or at least these teachers in Chicago.
The driver's ed teachers.
Yeah.
Which I will say, because when I heard we had a story about a driver's ed teacher, I thought it was a religious thing. And I'm like, not that I would, but I understand driver's ed teachers needing to pray a lot. Like, that's a concept I get.
Actually, that's kind of true. Yeah.
He would be a very religious man if he were a driver's ed teacher.
We were behind a student driver on 16 going up last night. Mm-hmm. It was me, Wes, and Meredith, actually, and the guy from Sweden. And we were behind a student driver that was motoring. He was going like 75. He was putting the hammer down on that one. And I suggest that we dress up like Lord Humongous and throw cold cuts at him. This is an idea I had. These are ideas that I get. They usually involve dressing up in leather gear and doing weird things. And it's the thing I do. Now, I guess if you're of the religious stripe, praying in the driver's ed.
Yeah, that's there's an exception there I'm probably willing to allow for.
So you're saying that there are atheists in foxholes, but there are no atheists in the passenger seat of a driver's ed car.
Yeah. I'm saying atheists wouldn't be praying. I'm just saying, like, if there were a complaint about a driver's ed teacher who was religious and was praying often, I'm like, no, I get where they're coming from. I understand that. Now, when it comes down to this pledge thing, I mean, I remember they first teach you this in, what, the first, second grade? Like, really early on.
Yeah.
And at that point, do you have concepts for words like indivisible, liberty and just
dividing by zero and a Metallica album.
There you go. But the thing is, like, at that age, it has no meaning whatsoever. It is a series of syllables that you repeat every morning.
Yeah.
And you can have, you have no interaction. You have no belief system. You don't have the abstract thought necessary to come up with an opinion on whether or not you agree with this pledge they're making you do every morning.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's indoctrination.
Right. And then by the time you're in high school, I don't know about your guys' high school, but we hardly did I think we did it during special holidays, because I guess he took most of those off. But, if there was a big thing,
like
a rally or something like that, we'd do the pledge. But you don't do it every morning in class.
Yeah, No, because there was one high school I went to where they did the pledge every morning. That may have been Elgin. I don't remember. They all kind of blur together. Mm. I went to five high schools. The fifth, though, the last one I went to, I went where I was at the longest. I don't think I ever did the pledge there.
Yeah.
I just thought they phased it out in Illinois, and this is in Illinois. This is not too far from where the story takes place.
Right, right.
I thought they had phased it out completely. They just didn't do it anymore. But now I'm reading. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So apparently, it's a district by district thing.
I don't know if it's. I can say this for me. I graduated in 2002.
Okay.
So we did not do it before September 11th.
Hmm.
We started doing it after September 11th.
Oh.
Because
I graduated in 2000. Well, I didn't graduate, but 97. I was class of 97. And yeah, okay. I don't remember it being a thing. And that would have been years before all that.
Right.
96. Yep.
We're old.
Old. No. No. Extensive dental work, but no, not old. yes, I just, this whole thing sounds like a failed educational thing. Like you got the, maybe I'm reading too much into this from a quote of two words by this kid, but I'm seeing a lot of myself in this kid with this America sucks, you know, thing where it's like, yeah, he's probably a snot-nosed jerk. Other words I would use if I were not
Chazbot.
Yeah. And I could see a certain authority minded, I must break the students in, like, kind of anti-educator, I guess you could call them. Being like, I need to teach this kid a lesson. And then he gets fired or gets reprimanded. And then, Captain Driver here goes,
I'll cover this one.
Yeah, I got it. And then he gets fired. This kid is going to think he's invincible. He's never going to be nice to anyone ever again.
This kid's going
to
be insufferable.
You just failed at your jobs on such a grand scale, not just violating the law. You have failed to do what it was you set out to do.
Right.
You made him worse. Good job.
He's 17.
Yeah, that's the, I mean,
don't
honestly
worry about it. YouTube was going to take care of that problem anyways.
You know, he's going to be fine. He's certainly not going to be a 40-year-old guy screaming into a microphone in the attic every Sunday. He'll be,
God,
he's not going. No, he's not going in that direction. Obviously not.
What a waste.
Yeah, but America sucks. It's like, I feel like the response is, why, that's a well thought out and intelligent opinion you have there, sir. Please elucidate on that.
I would love to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah. Here's a whiteboard. Here's a marker. Tell me why.
Right. That's what a good educator should do.
I remember a long time ago hearing this story on the radio, and this is somewhat unrelated, but it makes sense to me, so I'm going to tell it anyway. It was about Green Day, which I've never really... Well, I was a fan of Green Day for 15 minutes in the 90s, but I kind of got over it. They're not, like, a big band in my personal collection or anything like that. But they teased a story saying that Green Day refused to sell their albums in Walmart, and it had to do with language. And I'm like, oh my God, is this a First Amendment thing? Is this, like, I'm actually suddenly curious. Do these guys actually have an opinion worth, like, I want to hear what the story is. And then I listen, and they're like, hey, you won't sell your music at Walmart. Why not? And they're like, they won't let us swear. And I'm like, that is such a letdown. There is so much you could say about the nature of censorship and everything, but they won't let us swear. America sucks.
So what you're saying is that if you gave the whiteboard marker to 17-year-old me here,
right,
and said, tell, you know, explain why, you just draw a butt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm reading so much into this guy. Not just from two words, because I was listening to Becky talk about it. Becky just fell in love with this story. Because apparently, you know, in her district, they make it very clear that the pledge is not a required thing. It's not a required thing. You cannot force people to do it. I don't know if they had problems with this, or they just want to make it very clear, because some people are apparently not up on the concept. But, you know, and so she's just like, oh my God, this is amazing. All of these teachers are horrible. And she kind of animated what you said, is that they're like, oh, he's going to be fired. Like, oh, they've been waiting on this. This guy's got a 40-pound termination file already.
This, you know, the only thing I took away from this story is, how does this school have a full-time driver's education teacher? Because the only thing I know about driver's education teachers in high school is I learned from Mr. Holland's Opus. And that's that it's a summer gig you take to make some extra money.
Yeah, I did a private driver's ed because...
That's what I did. Yeah. We didn't have a driver's ed teacher in my school.
We had driver's ed, but you had to have better grades than I did by that point. Something about five high schools. driver's ed wasn't a thing, but I needed to drive work, so no. And so I did private driver's ed. And the film strips were as wacky as you might think. And... I always thought driver's ed teachers were also...
I thought it was just somebody on
PE
staff.
PE teachers.
Yeah.
Because right. I know, because at my school, it was the PE teachers who also taught driver's ed. I don't know why that would be the way you do it, but I guess if you can climb a rope, you're a good driver?
Yeah.
Is that the logic there? Help me out here.
Those who can do, those who can't teach. Those who can't teach, teach PE. And
throwing down.
Stolen from School of Rock.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't think either you or I are in a position to mock PE teachers.
This is true. I'm sitting here quietly. Yeah.
I'm going to go home and get beaten.
Views expressed on this show.
Oh, yeah. I still have that KLAY thing. But that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tyson.
Fun as always. Thank you.
Yeah, always a fun time. You go to our website at askanatheist.tv, Twitter us at askanatheistwa, email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. I did get a comment about somebody asking to document my time in the New Age movement, and that's a subject for another day, to be honest.
That's
with
a whole show.
It's a whole new podcast.
That may be three shows. I don't know that I'm ready for that.
We need Rosalind back.
Yeah, I'd be telling stories about America sucks, man. That's basically the story. See you next week.